As much as I'm attracted to that scene of court of intrigue in the Gospel from Mark this morning, I'm a little bit more drawn to the court intrigue that's implicit in the prophet Amos that we heard in our first reading. It kind of reminded me of a television character, an old one from Saturday Night Live. Some of you may remember it, others you can YouTube it. The character was played by Dana Carvey in the mid-80s. It was a skit called The Church Lady. And if you're not familiar with her, she hosted a regular comedy skit called Church Chat. She danced. She called the dance the superior dance. And her favorite word, some of you will recall, is, "Well, isn't that special?" Now, I think of the church lady's popularity, and I think a part of that popularity can be attributed to her ability to take on the larger-than-life figures of her day, and indeed ours, and cut them down to size through her own self-righteous brand of theology. She was, for a time, the image that many had for what most Christians are like. She portrayed herself as Christian, as pious, as pompous, as judgmental. She thought that she was somehow better, somehow more special than anyone else, simply because she went to church. And that's what links this character with our reading from the book of Amos. It has something to say about such people, and I'd like to look at Amos for a few minutes with you this morning. You see, Amos the prophet was dealing with his own type of church lady in the person of Amaziah. Amaziah was a priest. He was the official man of religion who thought that religion ought to be cast in civil terms. For Amaziah, religion existed to promote loyalty to the state, promote loyalty to the royal house, to produce patriotism. He was a kind of court chaplain, a kept prophet, whose job was to prophesy, as they say, smooth things. By contrast, Amos was obscure. He was noted as an unsophisticated man, a basic peasant, who carried very little for the high politics of his culture. He was an outsider to the world of official religion, an outsider whom God instead called to denounce religion and to denounce the government it supported because of the injustices and inhumane policies that they produced. And denounce them, Amos did with a vengeance. His prophecies, his visions were searing judgments against the injustices of a system that had one set of laws for the rich and another set of laws for the poor. Sounds familiar. He singled out priests like Amaziah for their indifference and their corruption. He condemned how money and political favor had become like gods. Sounds familiar. He called upon the national leaders to give up their unjust ways. Listen to some of Amos's more well-known words as he speaks the word of God to his day and age. "You that turn justice to poison, thrust righteousness to the ground. You that hate the one who brings the wrongdoer to court and abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take levies of grain from them. Alas for you, you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you want the day of the Lord? The Lord says, I hate your festivals. I take no delight in your worship. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-beings of your fatted calf, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your song. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. Instead, let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Obviously, Amos was not a popular prophet and had no friends in high places or in religious circles. The message he sent to proclaim was harsh and unpopular. He was a living reminder to the church ladies and the church men of his day that God would not show them special favor, even though they were faithful in their worship. God didn't care about the sacrifices they made when they were intolerant of justice, of injustice and oppression. Amos gave no one any slack. Such was the message God called Amos to proclaim 2,700 years ago, and it's the same message that God calls us to proclaim in our day as well. How many times have you heard it said that the world of religion is our business, but the world of politics must be kept separate? It was a mantra in mainline Protestantism. You always kept politics and religion separate. After all, what business does the church have in speaking out against injustice, oppression, cruelty, poverty, and war? Like it or not, Amos reminds us that issues of injustice, oppression, cruelty, poverty, and war are the business of the church. And when the church is true to itself, it will always be involved in the struggle for overcoming injustice. Indeed, with the church lady, we can proclaim to be special. We can claim to be different, but not special and different in a sense of being a privileged few. Not special in the sense of being exempt from responsibility. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he made it plain and clear that they wouldn't win popularity contests, they wouldn't amass wealth. He made it clear that he sent them to preach, to follow him, to become part of the Jesus movement, as our presiding bishop-elect is wont to say. And it's not an endeavor designed to win friends, though it certainly is an endeavor to influence people. The Christian goal is no less than to turn around the hearts and minds of people, to turn them away from the values which our society so fearlessly clutches to turn hearts and minds from values which place more importance on wealth than people, that place more importance on power and prestige than upon human life. In the face of such values, it is clear and the undeniable mission of the body of Christ to pursue justice, peace, reconciliation.